So, Reed Martin, what do you think about rewriting William Shakespeare?
I think it is absolutely outrageous and unacceptable for modern theater practitioners to try to, you know, make Shakespeare relevant and modern and updated. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 463, Rewriting William Shakespeare.
So in late September of 2015, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon, announced that they were doing a brand new series called Play On, in which they were commissioning 36 playwrights, to do what they're calling, quote, translations. And translation is a bad word, and they admit it's a bad word. Of Shakespeare's plays to make them more contemporary, to make the difficult language in Shakespeare's plays more easy to understand to modern ears. And this was, all right, so it's now the middle of October. It's been 3 weeks of people going insane about this on the social media and on blogs and whatnot. Shakespeare scholars are outraged that they're turning away from the text. Shakespeare nerds are just going, it has to remain the way it is. Other people are going, relax, everybody, you know. And we've been asked a couple of times online to kind of weigh in, like our opinion is of any value whatsoever. But initially I went, why do we all have an opinion now? Why can't we just wait and see what they're going to do? Do you have any thoughts?
Well, did they say they weren't going to do it the traditional? Did they say, yeah, we're never going to do traditional Shakespeare ever again?
Right.
No, they didn't say that.
Yeah, these are not meant to be replacements for Shakespeare's plays. These are supposed to be companions, their language, companions to Shakespeare's plays. And it's going to be 36 playwrights working with 36 dramaturgs to do a deep dive into the language, the kind of table work that directors and actors do all the time, the kind of conversation and an analysis that happens in English classes all the time. But they're just going to do it and create a text on the basis of that. And they want it to be robust and in the spirit of Shakespeare's language, but in language that's easier to understand with words that haven't lost their meaning over 400 years. Now, the one concern I had was that I heard that they said they don't want any slang, they don't want any kind of politics or jokes. And it's like, well, wait a second. Right there, that's a problem, because Shakespeare is full of 400-year-old slang, politics, and topical jokes.
Yeah, I mean, his comedies, you read them and you go, well, I don't know what this means. Let me go online. Oh, I see. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're making a topical reference. So, I don't know how you do the comedies in the spirit of the way Shakespeare did them without some topical references. Are they doing it in verse?
Yeah. No, I think they're going to try to match the verse style or the prose style of whatever play it is they're working on.
Well, you know what? Shakespeare will survive. You know what I mean? It's just like somebody says something against religion. Oh, my, you know, I think God will survive.
Right. Well, and I think you need to give the Oregon Shakespeare Festival a little credit. I don't think it's not just Joe Blow's Let's Burn Down Shakespeare Theater, you know.
No, that's our job.
Yeah, that's our job. You know, I mean, I think the folks up in Ashland, Bill Roush, the artistic director, and Lee, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but Lou, I think she's the literary manager there. I think they're going to do it with respect and reverence. Now, whether they do it... Oh, well, and the best thing that I've heard is that at least half, I think, of these playwrights are playwrights of color and women. Mm-hmm. You know, so these are underserved artists in the community. I've also heard some people arguing, well, why don't they just pay, you know, 18 to 20 playwrights of color or women, female playwrights, to write new plays? Why do you got to mess around with Shakespeare?
Are those mutually exclusive?
Well, yeah, exactly right. Well, are they mutually exclusive? In this case, they probably are, because they got the money for this from a patron of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, whose name I forget. But he wanted, you know, he's been going to the festival every year. He sees all the plays. He's probably seen most of the plays several times. And he says even he struggles with meaning sometimes in productions. And so he was looking for texts that would deal with this, with his struggle for meaning. And he's got a ton of money, and that's what he's going to give his money to.
Right.
So the Oregon Shakespeare Festival are no fools, and they went, sure, we'll take your money, and that's how we'll do these translations.
Well, it's going to ruin Shakespeare. I mean, when they came out with West Side Story, Romeo and Juliet was forever ruined.
Absolutely.
When they did Kiss Me, Kate,
yeah.
Taming of the Shrew, it's wrecked.
They never do that play anymore.
No.
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 Either one of them.
No, if you mess with Shakespeare, you destroy the original. It can never be done again.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
I understand some of the concerns. I mean, people are talking about the poetry, and it's going to mess with the poetry and dumbing it down, and that's not, you know, you need to ask your audience to rise up to the occasion. But I thought the comparison to a church was really good. That, you know, it's the Church of Shakespeare coming, rising up in arms against this, this what they see as an attack against their institution, you know. Yeah.
Well, and you know, there are people who argue, well, what makes Shakespeare Shakespeare? Is it his stories? Not really. He stole them from people, yeah. You know. Is it his characters? Maybe. But for sure, it's his language. And when you change Shakespeare's language, are you changing Shakespeare? Now, people who watch, people around the world who only know Shakespeare as it's been translated into their language, they don't have that problem. They still love and appreciate Shakespeare, even though they've heard it in not Shakespeare's English.
Yeah, the alliteration isn't going to be the same. The rhythm right. won't necessarily be the same.
Right, the
yeah.
puns and all the vocabulary jokes. They already are getting it at a remove, and so I wonder how much of it is people going. You know, you made the church analogy. I wonder if it's the same as white privilege, Shakespeare privilege, American English privilege. No. Gosh darn it, he's mine. He's mine. You can't change my words.
Well, it depends if you belong to the Shakespeare Orthodox Church or the Shakespeare Unitarian Church.
Yeah. I really
right?
wish we had a Shakespeare Orthodox here to really strongly argue the other side of the, right. the
yeah.
coin.
Yeah. That would be useful. But
yeah, they should do their own damn podcast.
Absolutely.
I mean, is it a little bit like somebody covering a Beatles song? You know, it may reveal some things that you never noticed before.
Yeah.
Will it be as good as the original? Might be. Might it be a lot worse? Might be.
In the case of Time in Athens, it can't be much worse.
Well, exactly. Somebody's doing something to Henry VIII to make me possibly be interested.
Right.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that's about a third of the plays right there. Yeah.
But is it any, I mean, well, it is different, but we all, when we do the plays, we edit them down, right? We cut big swaths of text out of the play. So you could argue that that's destroying the work as it was intended to be,
well,
right?
You and know. this is the thing too. And for me, that's kind of the thing that makes me upset a little bit. Is like every person who stages Shakespeare and directs it and acts it has to deal with parts of the play that they don't understand, or has to deal with the length of the plays. And you don't want to do a 4-hour play; you want to do a 2.5-hour play. So people have been making cuts for 400 years. People have been changing the language for 400 years. It always feels like that should be done on a case-by-case basis. But I often feel like if an audience is having problems with the language, it's because the actors and the directors haven't done their work.
Yes.
Don't you think? It's a little bit like, well, I'm not understanding it because the actor's not understanding it.
Yeah, what they're saying or why they're saying what they're saying. There's certain things that I am excited about. That I think the comedy a lot of the times in Shakespeare, that's so period that that's really hard to
right.
come across to a modern audience, so I'm excited to see how they update some of those things. Or it was things that were like originally pronounced differently in the original Shakespearean pronunciation that all of a sudden the joke works if you hear it that way, but you're never going to hear it that way, and so it's just we're reciting these things that these jokes that don't work.
Hi, this is Cynthia Ryder, Executive Director of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and this is the podcast for the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our fall and winter of 2015-2016 tour continues this week with performances of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged and The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in California, Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, Kansas, Michigan, and Georgia. And then, next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official Reduced Shakespeare Company premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to our conversation about the Oregon Shakespeare Festival's Play On project. As it happens, OSF announced this just as Reed and I were continuing to work on our new script, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, our attempt to create the literary Holy Grail, a lost Shakespeare play written in Shakespeare's own hand. One thing we've tried to do is to use Shakespeare's actual language wherever we can and only rewrite him for comic or satirical purposes. After workshopping Long Lost Shakes this summer at Shakespeare Napa Valley and the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival, Reed and I began rehearsing it this week with Teddy Spencer, who also performed in the workshop productions. Thank goodness at least Teddy knows the lines, even if we are rewriting them, some of them, to clarify the storylines and exposition. Anyway, Reed, Teddy, and I took a break from rehearsal this week to talk about OSF's Play On project and all the hoopla it stirred up.
Well, and so I dare say that some of these people who are arguing against this, have any of them ever done a production in modern dress?
Yeah.
Have any of them dressed, oh, all the members of this family, we better dress in red,
yeah,
so that everybody knows that the Montagues are all in red and the Capulets are all in blue? Mm-hmm. Isn't that sort of an admission that maybe the language itself is a little hard to follow? We're going to have to set Julius Caesar in a banana republic somewhere so people get the modern relevance?
Right. And it's not just the language. It's the shorthand with which Shakespeare wrote for his audience. Mm-hmm. Shakespeare and his audience had a common frame of reference, yep, that we don't share much of the time. And so when I applaud all those productions that attempt to put some color coding into who Exeter and Buckingham and Westminster are in the history play.
Because the people of Shakespeare's time would know that. You wouldn't have to explain it.
Yeah, exactly right. So that kind of stuff has to be explained all the time.
So are they going to leave much of the language intact? Or are they basically going to change most of the language, or do we know? It'll be up to the playwright.
I think it's going to be up to the playwright. My guess is that they leave a lot of it intact, yeah, unless they're completely reconceiving it all to be in this kind of language, whatever that means.
I think no matter what, positive things will come of it. You know, if it introduces people to Shakespeare that wouldn't normally be exposed to his work and it gets them excited about it, then how could that be a bad thing? What is there to complain about?
Yeah. Well, exactly. And some of them, you know, like in any of the play where you do any sort of investigation into the text and you maybe try some new lines or try, you know, that helps you understand the existing text. So if one of these companion plays gives you a better insight into Cymbeline, for instance, or whatever, just to pull a random example, then yeah, that could be only to the good.
Well, do you think if Shakespeare were alive today that he wouldn't update his scripts to make them relevant? Now, the trouble is there aren't a lot of Shakespeares running around,
right,
you know, of that caliber to, yeah, update his scripts. But, I, you know, if he were alive and around, you'd go, oh, people aren't getting this reference. Let's make this something that people could understand.
Yes, and when you mention Shakespeare's scripts, you know, Shakespeare's scripts themselves are hardly carved in stone. You know, some of them were pieced together from different quartos, etc. They're handed down from actors who transcribed it from memory. So a lot of time we don't know what we're playing with. So it does feel a little bit like everybody just needs to calm down a little bit.
No, there's nothing interesting about being calm. No, people ask, you know, what do Shakespeare scholars think about the Reduced Shakespeare Company? Well, they love it because we're paying attention to Shakespeare in a way that people aren't used to. And then other people say, well, isn't it unfortunate that you're bastardizing Shakespeare and, you know, biting all this physical comedy and modern up? And I say, well, it would be unfortunate if that's the only Shakespeare that were available. That would be tragic.
Yeah, right.
But we make Shakespeare fun and accessible, and we're celebrating him.
Yeah.
And we hope there's many, many serious, straight versions of Shakespeare. And there are thousands and millions, yeah. And I would never want that to go away. And with this Oregon Shakespeare Festival thing, I think it's great that we'll have these other scripts. And I think it's even greater that there'll still be thousands or tens of thousands of productions of the script as they've existed for hundreds of years, still going on.
And in fact, I think you could call our shows, The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged, and the new one, Shakespeare's Long Lost First Play Abridged, companions to the Shakespearean canon.
Well, we've said it before. If you haven't seen William Shakespeare's Long Lost First Play Abridged, then you haven't really completed seeing the canon. So check our dates online.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. There have been passionate responses to Oregon Shakespeare Festival's Play On project, both supportive and critical, and I'll put links to some of them in the listing for this episode on our website. Kudos to Oregon Shakes for getting everyone talking so passionately about Shakespeare these last couple of weeks. But I hope no one will mind me suggesting that until we see the actual new commissioned scripts, all this frantic response seems just ever so slightly like much ado about nothing. Send us your Shakespearean companion via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter, and I hope you'll post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, non-playwright of Zero Color Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Sarah Pritchard. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Cynthia Ryder, Executive Director of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 463-1389ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Yeah, that's really my biggest complaint about this whole thing. We're not one of the 36 playwrights who have been commissioned to examine one of the texts. Why is Oregon Shakespeare Festival not doing a deep dive into Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged? That's where we should be focusing our energy.
Yeah, I don't know if they included the Apocrypha in their updates, and I think this falls underneath that.
Yeah, that's bullshit. This is a whole new podcast. We got to talk about this right now.
Oh, we'll have something to say.
Oh, yeah.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.